You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, reaching hearts, transforming communities. To find out more about us, go to our website, www.clch.cc.
My name's Dan, one of the leaders here. I've got the privilege of ending the series that we've been doing in Ephesians. For those of you that are new this morning, you can catch up on that on our podcast, on our YouTube, on our Facebook. But I'd really urge you to do so. It's been a great series. How many of you have enjoyed the series? You know, just give me a wave. That's good. So we're doing all right if over half the room have enjoyed it. That's good. The other half were sorry. We're trying to improve, you know. I was driving home the other day from Wolverhampton in the evening, and it was really, really foggy. It was so foggy, it was so thick that I could not see more than sort of maybe a meter or two ahead of me. And this is a journey that I've been doing quite often recently, and I'm quite familiar with it. But all of a sudden, it looked totally different. It looked totally different. I could only see 1 or 2 meters in front of me. The path before me was very unclear. You know, my journey, all of a sudden, I would have been daydreaming usually. I'd have Spotify on. There are other music providers other than Spotify. I'd have Spotify on. I'd be listening to a bit of Christmas music. Yes, I know, even in October I was doing that. I'd be daydreaming. But in this moment, I couldn't do that. I couldn't daydream. I couldn't have the music on. I could only see 1 or 2 meters ahead of me. My mind was solely focused on not putting my car into a ditch. You know, the road markings, I don't know about you, but in Hereford, if any of you local councillors are here or watching online, please pay attention to this bit. The road markings were not visible. They were not clear. The cat's eyes, well, I reckon someone's gone along and stolen them out of the road because they're not shining back at me. I could not be steered by these cat's eyes. You know, the only thing that was helping me on this journey was my sat-nav. Thank goodness for my sat-nav, because what I was able to do is the sat-nav was showing me when the sharp bends were coming. Don't get me wrong, I was not speeding, I was taking it steady, but even in that moment, you're kind of thinking, oh, what's coming up next, you know? But I could see on the sat-nav, it was saying, right, sharp bend coming up, and I was like, oh, phew, you know, I'm okay. And the beautiful thing about sat-navs now is they're on your phones, aren't they, for those of you that have got the spangle-dangle phones. So I carry it with me wherever I go. It literally kept me on track. It helped me return home safe. Have any of you been caught in fog like that before? Just give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Loads of you. Yeah, it's not great, is it? Maybe you can relate to that, but maybe you think, well, at the end of the day, Dan, I don't drive, so no, I can't relate to that, really, to be honest with you. Well, maybe you've woken up and suddenly had a brain fog, or maybe you've been working, you get to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at school, at college, maybe at work, but you know, you suddenly have brain fog. You've suddenly had this fog in your mind. You just can't concentrate. You just can't get any work done. You read the same email over and over again. You're reading a book and you read the same line over and over again. You just have that brain fog that just stops you from being able to focus, to concentrate. Maybe you can relate to that. And you might be thinking to yourself, you might be watching online and thinking, what has driving in fog, what has brain fog got anything to do with Ephesians, Dan? Well, let me tell you that when I was praying for you guys, when I was praying for what to bring this morning, a few weeks back, I really felt like God really instilled on my heart. Now, let me just paint a picture of what I was doing. I'd gone for a walk. I was just getting quiet, phone off, just walking in nature. And I'm just like talking to God. I'm saying, God, okay, what is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? And as I was doing that, I really felt the still small voice of God say to me, Dan, I want you to remind them we're in a battle. I want you to remind them we are in a battle. A battle for kingdom advance. A battle for kingdom advance in the world around us. You know, C.S. Lewis, this really awesome author, put it this way. He said, we are in enemy-occupied territory. That is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. you might say, landed in disguise and is calling us all to take part in the great campaign of sabotage. Come on. I love C.S. Lewis. He is so good. I love the way he put it. You know, we aren't of this world. We are not of this world. God called us to live differently. He did. He has gifted us with the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay? And we are his resistance movement. We are his resistance movement. You know, I believe one of the greatest tactics of the enemy, Satan, is to lead us into a place of forgetting that we are in a battle. Leading us into this place of apathy, spiritual fog. We can find ourselves just getting into it so easily. A place where we become ineffective and potentially disillusioned. I want to ask you this morning, this evening, when you're catching up on demand, I want to ask you this question. Where do you find yourself today? Are you in that place of spiritual fog? Have you forgotten that we're in a battle? Have you been distracted? Or are you on it and you recognize it? Where do you find yourself today? You see, when we read the Apostle Paul's letters in the New Testament, okay, he makes it very clear that there are forces of evil at work. It's not just for Star Wars, okay? There are forces of evil at work. He's made it very clear that these forces of evil that put Jesus on the cross are not happy. They're not happy about the good news of Jesus. They're not happy about the victory of the resurrection. They're not happy about it. They want to shut down the message of Jesus. Sound familiar? Recognize that in culture at the moment? See, when the Apostle Paul wrote the New Testament, it was the same thing. Tactics haven't changed. Culture's changed a bit. We dress differently. We do lots of different things. But the message is still the same. And the tactics of the enemy are still the same. He wants to silence the message of Jesus Christ. So you might be saying, okay, right, okay, what are the things that lead us into spiritual fog? You might ask me that. I hear you ask me that. What are the things that, you know, come on. Thanks for asking that. Cheers, Gareth. I'll answer it now you've asked that. But, you know, there are some tactics of the enemy that I just want to highlight to you this morning. The first one is opposing the gospel. The next one would be distracting Christians. Distracting or depressing us, getting us down, making us feel like we're on our own. I've often said in the past, if you listen to some of my preachers before, that one of the tactics of the enemy is to get you on your own and give you a good kicking when you're on your own. That's what he'll do. He'll offense, disunity. He'll get you into that place and he'll be like, yeah, there you go. See, now you're not going to share the message of Jesus because you can't even move. He does that. I know because I've been there. He tries to blow us off course. How? False teaching. That happens. This is why it's so important that we read our Bibles, that we do church in community to make sure that we're on the ball, that our thoughts and what we're doing is in alignment with the Word of God. Otherwise, dare I say it, we get a bit wacky, blown off course. Temptation. There are so many temptations in the world today. I don't need to list them all off. Many of you are familiar with them. Anger. We can get blown off course with anger. We can just get offended. We can take offense, which causes us to leave church, which causes us to break away from our friends, which can cause us to walk away from Jesus because we've taken that offense rather than do what the Bible says, which is deal with it. Talk about it. Work it through in love. Immorality. We see it all over the place. Immorality can be one of the tactics the enemy uses to blow us off course, to lead us in a direction where we're not effective, where we're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I've already touched on it, preventing Christians from spreading the message. It could be family members that are just totally anti and are just trying to knock you down and wear you down. Could be your friends. It was for me when I first came to Christ. My friends were like, you're a nutter. You're an idiot. You're a fool. Peer pressure was like all about, no, you've got to give this up. I remember sitting in a Wetherspoons 21 years ago, sharing the fact to my mates on a Sunday after church. I went down the pub because we'd always go down the pub. I remember sitting there with about 20 mates and they're like, Oh, yeah, you've come to Christ, haven't you, Danny? Yeah, we've seen that before. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Look, this guy here, he came to Christ ages ago. Now, look where he is now. You'll go down that same road. Peer pressure was really like, boom. I wish I could meet them now. If you're watching online, I am not down that road. I'm still here, trusting in Jesus, following him. Local authorities can really kind of, you know, we want to work with local authorities. We want to honor local authorities. We want to do great work within the city. But what we don't want them to do is shut down the message of Jesus Christ that we want to share with people. So really important, and sometimes can be used to stop us from doing the work that we want to do. Governments can put laws in place, can put restrictions in place where, you know, we are blessed that we don't have that at the moment. At the moment, we don't have that. But our brothers and sisters in countries where the church is controlled. I mean, I was at a conference only a week or so ago where I'm hearing about people in China, people in near Russia. Where was that, Tim? Oh, I've forgotten my geography. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but like two different places where they are doing church underground. They're doing church underground. They're not allowed to even meet in their buildings anymore. Anti-Christian groups, and some anti-Christian groups don't even know they're anti-Christian. You know, it's all about their rights and they push aside everybody else's rights, but they can prevent us from spreading the message of Jesus Christ. And do you know what? Jesus isn't anti-anyone. He's not anti, well, he's anti-sin and the devil, but other than that. And sometimes we can distract ourselves by focusing too much on side issues, distorted teachings. This is the thing that it's all about. It's all about this part of the Christianity. It's all about this part. Actually, it's all about Jesus. The rest is a bonus. It's actually all about Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a church right now and you're thinking this one isn't for me, please find a church where it is all about Jesus Christ. Okay. It's all about what he's done. It's all about the good news that he's brought. So, what can we do about these distractions? What can we do about this spiritual fog? And, you know, just like I'm armed with my sat-nav wherever I go. We need to get battle ready. And some of you may already be battle ready, and that's fine. Great, brilliant, help us get battle ready. But how do we get battle ready? And, you know, I want to just say this morning, there are four things that I want to bring to you. Four things that I believe Paul mentions in Ephesians 6 that will help us get battle ready. So you can just turn to your neighbor and say, I am ready to get battle ready. Okay, first thing. Here we go. Just like the sat-nav revealed to me the bends, the sharp bends in my journey, okay, we need to recognize the attacks of the enemy. That's number one. So some of them are obvious. And you, right now, you're watching, you're listening online, and you're like, do you know what? I know I'm under attack. It is very evident in my life. I am under attack. But for some of you, you don't really know. You're kind of sat there and thinking, okay, under attack, it doesn't feel like that. Doesn't feel like that. Okay, feels pretty chilled for me, other than having to wear a mask here and there. You know, and I believe that's because the attacks are subtle. They can be subtle. Some are obvious and full frontal, and you're like, yeah, I know I'm under attack. But some are subtle. They sneak up on us like a thief in the night. But do you know what? I believe what Paul points out here is the same strategy, whether you're aware you're under attack or whether you've suddenly realized from what I've shared this morning, oh my, I'm in spiritual fog. The tactic, the strategy to respond to it is exactly the same. And some of you might be thinking, right, this is where Dan's now going to go into the armor of God. Right? Some of you are thinking that right now. But that's not where I'm going. Okay, I will go there, I promise, because that's on my brief. But when I'm reminding my kids of something, I always leave the most important thing last. When I'm dropping them off to school or I'm sending them off to their mum, whatever, I always leave the most important thing till last. Often the message to my kids is, I love you, because that's the thing I want them to remember, because the last thing is often what they remember, or it's don't forget. Don't forget to hand in that note to that teacher, because it's come back 2 weeks in a row. I always save the most important thing till last. And I think that's quite important here. When we read Ephesians, when I've read Ephesians, when I've studied it for this morning, in Ephesians 6, 18 to 24, the last message really that comes from Paul is this. Pray on every occasion. Pray on every occasion. I can imagine Paul getting quite animated in the moment, going, pray, pray, pray on every occasion. Sometimes I see TikTok videos where people are kind of filming entrepreneurs and saying, what's the one piece of advice? And I reckon if TikTok guys came and filmed Paul, he'd say, pray, pray on every occasion. All sorts of prayer, intercede. In other words, talk to God. See, he wants to be involved in our lives. Talking to God is an important part of our battle as a Christian. We need power from the great general. We need strategy. We need direction from him. He's the one to bring it. Because guess what? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We need him. We need him to highlight the dangers that are ahead. Like my sat-nav showed me the dangerous corners. We need Jesus to highlight the tactics of the enemy, how he's attacking us, what he's doing in our lives. But we can't get that unless we're talking with him, unless we're praying. You see, he can reveal the attacks. He can put his finger on what needs to happen in our lives. Listen to this. This is great. Archbishop William Temple said this. Whatever else one might say about whether prayer worked, he had noticed that when he prayed, coincidences happened. And when he stopped praying, the coincidences stopped happening. Shall I read that again? Yeah? Whatever else one might say about whether prayer worked, he had noticed that when he prayed, coincidences happened. And when he stopped praying, the coincidences stopped happening. Prayer. Prayer. Talking to God. Please don't be put off by lofty prayers where someone might pray for a quarter of an hour in a prayer meeting. There's a time and a place for that. I'm not trying to mock those that really get passionate for prayer. But please don't be put off by the many words. It's a conversation. It's talking to God. Often you'll find me not on my knees praying for hours, on my way to work. I'm praying. On my way to pick up my kids from school, I'm just talking to God. I'm asking him for his help. I'm asking for him to speak. Sometimes I do have set times where I go for a prayer walk, but more often than not, it's when I'm washing up. And I'm just washing up and I've got that moment, or I've just put the kids to bed and I've got 20 minutes. You know, it's when I'm hoovering. You know, I'm talking. So I just want to take a moment right now to pray before I go into the rest of the message. And I just want to pray for those of you who are under attack right now. And I want to pray for those of us who aren't sure whether we're in spiritual fog. So I'm just going to do that. So however you want to just focus on God for a moment, whatever you need to do, I'm just going to pray. And it's just going to be simple. Jesus, for those of us under attack right now, who know it, who have been nodding as I've been bringing the word that you placed on my heart. I just want to pray, help. Help, Jesus, help. Reveal the strategy. I'm just going to hold on to you, Jesus, and say we trust you in this attack. We trust you in this moment. And Jesus, we just want to talk to you right now about those of us that we're either unaware what the fog is, or we've just gone, oh, yeah, I'm in fog. I want to ask you, Father, will you just reveal, will you put your finger on what it is that needs to stop, what it is that you're not happy with, what it is you want to change? We just ask you to put your finger on it. And whether you reveal it to us when we're reading our Bibles in the week, or whether we're riding our bike to work tomorrow or whatever we're doing, help us to hear you, Jesus. We want to hear you because we know you've got our best interests at heart. Amen. You know, prayer's important. Prayer's important. We've just come out of 24 hours of prayer. It's important. You know, God has wired us not to do life on our own. He wants to do life with us. But not just that. Church is important. Church is important. It isn't a building, although buildings are nice. It's people, right? So we're called to battle together. We're called to battle together. So whatever you're going through, wherever God has revealed that to you this morning, whatever God has revealed to you this morning in prayer, or maybe in the future as you pray and God reveals stuff to you off the back of what has been brought today, I want to ask you to do this, to walk it, talk it, and pray it through with someone else. Don't just do it on your own. You know, Matthew 18, 19 to 20 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. I have found this to be very true in my life. When I've been going through a difficult time where I'm getting hammered by an attack from the enemy, where I'm struggling in my faith, where I, you know, God's highlighted an area of sin in my life that needs to be sorted. You know, you have seasons of grace, don't you, where it's like, yeah, things are going really great there. And that's when God then suddenly goes, well, okay, now you've got to learn patience. You're like, really? But I have found it's powerful in those moments to talk with others, to pray it through with others. And I can tell you that every time I've done that, I have seen breakthrough in my life. Sometimes instantly, more often than not, over time, but I've seen that breakthrough. So I want to urge you, do not do it on your own. So getting battle ready means recognizing the attacks. It means praying, talking to God. And the third thing is, it's about putting your spiritual armor on. Putting on your spiritual armor. So I'm going to take you through a real quick whistle-top tour of the armor. Okay, so verse 14 says this, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The Christian message is true. And we must never give up on the truth of the gospel. It's the belt that holds everything together in place. I'm very glad for the belt I'm wearing right now, and I'm sure you are as well, right? But this, the gospel, the truth of Jesus is what holds everything together. Everything together. This is why we say it's all about Jesus. It holds everything in place. It's why it's important to respond to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you can do that this morning, later. You can do it now if you want. Doesn't really matter. Do that. Come to him now. But like, I'm going to talk about how we can do that later. But it's not just about responding to the message of Jesus. That's not just about what this belt of truth is about. Actually, we need to know it. We need to know it. We need to understand it. So I want to urge you as an action over this next week or two or however long you want to take to do it, I want to urge you to read the Gospels in the New Testament. For those of you that might be here this morning, those of you watching online, you might not be familiar with the Bible. So when I talk about the Gospels, the New Testament, it's the back bit of the Bible. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Have a read of them. Get yourself familiar with the message. You might have been a Christian for 20 plus years and you might not have read them for a long while. Read them again. Perhaps just read the red letters. There are some Bibles where you have the red letters, which is just the words of Jesus. Maybe you just need to take some time to do that. But we need to know the gospel, not just respond to the gospel. But we also need to live it. We need to live it. So important. You can talk the talk, you can know it, but we need to walk it too. Okay, Ephesians 6:14. So he talked about the belt of truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, God is our judge. In fact, that's what my name means, by the way, Daniel. God is my judge. God is our judge. He vindicated Jesus. He vindicated us because of Jesus. We sing, we are free. All the singing that we've done this morning, we are free. God has vindicated us because of Jesus. Let's not be British about it. That's amazing. Come on. It's better than Cristiano Ronaldo's goal or Messi's goal, or it's better than Arsenal getting to fifth in the league already. Come on. It's better. No, it's, yeah. Everton will be all right. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, but it's better than any of that. The amount of times I've screamed when my team have scored in football. This is better than that. We've been vindicated. It's not about winning a tournament once. We've been vindicated forever. God has made a way where there was no way. The good news is that we are set free. Come on. This breastplate of righteousness, that's what it's all about. I'm free because of Jesus. He's made me right. I'm clean. So this protects us from attack against the enemy as well. Knowing that, declaring that, speaking that out. We are where we are because of Jesus. We have what we have because of Jesus. I am who I am because of Jesus. I am who I am because of Jesus. Why not put those phrases on a post-it note on your mirror so you're reminded in the morning when you're brushing your teeth? Maybe you could put it as your wallpaper on your mobile phone or on your fridge. Whatever. But like, it's during times of difficulty, it's during those times of attack, we can forget these things. And we're so focused on the attack, we're so focused on what's happening to us that we forget these things. And these are the things that will bring us to that place of knowing it's okay. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. Thank goodness, because I don't always know what I'm doing. Ephesians 6. 15. Shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. There's a theme going on here, guys. There's a theme going on in this armor. Like I've already mentioned, the enemy wants to distract us. He wants to knock us off our feet. Lead us away from God, the mission that he's put on our heart. Lead us away from realizing we're in a battle of actually living out the freedom that Jesus has given us, sharing it with the people around us. You see, our job is to stand firm and hold on to the gospel of peace. The message of peace is that Jesus led us into a place of peace with God. So you might be listening this morning, you might be here this morning, you might think that God is this angry God that just wants to punish us. Well, the New Testament is totally, totally going to change your mind because it talks about peace with God. Peace with God. So this battle we're in isn't about us being in a battle with God. In fact, actually, the wonderful thing, spoiler alert, if you haven't read the Bible yet, Revelation, it's won. The battle's won. We're walking it out now, but the battle is won. How good is that? How many people would sign up to a war where it's like, we already know we've won? You know, let everyone, yeah, I'll sign up, not a problem. You know, the battle is won. We have peace with God, and this is what we need to stand on. This is our foundational part of our walk as Christians. Peace with God. He's not angry with me anymore. Well, he wasn't angry in the first place, some of you are saying. Actually, he was angry at sin, but you know what I'm trying to say. Ephesians 6:16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Wow, what a picture. Flaming darts. Wow. I've seen Caleb do that on Minecraft. Flaming darts. They're incredible. They cause a lot of damage. If you were in doubt of whether we're in a battle or not, Paul is saying here, the enemy is firing flaming darts at you. You might not be aware of them. You might have been so battered over time that you become numb to the fact you're being hit with flaming darts all the time. But it's happening. They're coming. So what do we need to do? Take up the shield of faith. belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what protects us during these attacks. Remember those post-it notes we talked about a moment ago? Remember that? That's what protects us, reminding us that we've got faith in Jesus. It's not about our qualifications. It's not about our standing in society. It's not about how much money you've got in the bank. It's not about how educated you are. It's not about how strong you are. It's not about how clever you are. It's not about how weak you are. It's not about how tall you are or how short you are. It's not about any of those things. It's all about Jesus. And you have him. You have him in your life. It's all about him. And some of the darts that can come our way are doubt. And then when the enemy causes us to doubt, gets us to that place of doubt, he's then going, oh, you're doubting. Well, yeah, you're doubting. It's like a big bully. He leads us to that place. He makes us, it leads us into a place of doubt, and then he bullies us about doubt. Do you know what? I reckon if we went around this room right now, there's not a single person that's not had some sort of doubt in life following Jesus. I reckon you'd find it very difficult to find a single person, even those that have walked with Christ for a very long time, that hasn't got a question that hasn't been answered yet. That's okay. Some things are a mystery. Did Adam have a belly button? I don't know. We're just going to have to ask Jesus when we get there to heaven, okay? Another fiery arrow would be despair. Just raise your hands if you've ever been in despair before. I'm raising my hand because I have. I've been in despair. Goodness knows. Difficult circumstances. Give me a wave. Come on. Yeah. I'm not trying to shame you here. Come on. It's about showing that those of you online, just send us a like. Temptation. Personal tragedy. And here's one that some people get blindsided with. Arrogance. Got it all together. Pride. To name but a few. But this authentic faith in Jesus protects us when we're faced with these arrows. Actually, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is the answer. Turn to him. Look to him. Often people joke, and I've heard this before, and I didn't grow up in Sunday school, but people say, oh, it's a Sunday school answer. Just whenever you're asked a question, when you've not been paying attention in Sunday school, okay, is just answer it, Jesus. Because he's always the answer. But the reality is, it's actually true. He is always the answer. Don't tell my kids that. I want them to listen. But it is all about him. And this is what Paul is saying. And again, I'd love to just be in that moment when Paul has been saying this, to just see him. I'm sure he would have been jumping up and down with his sandals, like maybe holding whatever it is he's wearing. Come on, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Come on, it's all about him. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. This is a key piece of armor for me. Some of you that know me well will know that I'm an overthinker. I am a classic overthinker. It's something that God's been dealing with me over the years. I'm getting better. But can anyone else relate to that? Any overthinkers here? Yep, thank you. That's brave. Come on, yes, come on. We're not alone. But you know, helmet of salvation. It's about protecting the mind. And for those of us that are overthinkers, this is awesome here. Because knowing that you already belong to Jesus, that he has rescued you, enables you to face whatever this world throws at you. Okay? I've often said that holding on to Jesus is the one thing that's pulled me through in life. You know, and has my mic gone? Is it still on? Okay. So, actually, what I've discovered is it's the only thing we can do. Through trials, difficulties, and through the good times, hanging on to Jesus is the only thing that we can do. It's the best thing that we can do. When it comes to kind of when I'm going down that path of overthinking, just one of those post-it notes. Putting on the helmet of salvation. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. And there are times where my prayers have only been, help. And then my declaration has only been, I trust you. And that's all I've been able to do. And that's what I imagine that the simplest way of putting on the helmet of salvation. Help, I trust you, Jesus. Maybe the only thing you can do right now, but it's the best thing you can do. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. You can just turn to your neighbor and say, sword of the Spirit, I've been waiting for this one. If Jesus came now, it would be the lightsaber of the Spirit. I'm just saying. It's what it'll be. It's what it will be. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, this is often taken as the whole Word of God. Okay? Although it's helpful to kind of look at this as being the whole Word of God. Okay? Although it's helpful, and even in the Gospels, we see that when Jesus was led into temptation, okay, in the desert, 40 days without eating. What? I can't go a couple of hours without eating sometimes. 40 days without eating, the devil comes and attacks Jesus and tries to tempt him. And Jesus uses the Word of God against him, doesn't he? He quotes him. And even the enemy quotes it back, and then Jesus quotes it back again and just totally owns him. It's one of those common mic drop moments for Jesus. And so it's important that we use the Word of God when we're being attacked. But actually, what N.T. Wright, this really cool commentator for the Bible, what he is kind of saying here is actually when you look at the original language and when you look at the context of the letter here, actually he's not talking about the whole Word of God. He's actually talking about the message of the gospel in this moment. This is what N.T. Wright is kind of saying. And actually, it kind of does fit contextually. And actually, when you look at the phrase in the original language and compare it to earlier parts of Ephesians 6, it kind of marries up. He's like, actually, it does marry up. So, you know, actually, although we this sword of the Spirit, sometimes we can say, oh, it's any word, you know, I can quote Psalms 23 in this moment. Yes, you can. I'm not saying you can't do that. But in this moment, Paul here is referring to the message of the gospel, that it's through the gospel that God accomplishes the powerful cleansing work in people's hearts and lives. It's through the gospel. So sometimes I preach, and I feel like I preach wrongly, that, right, yeah, we take this, the word of God, and we start hammering the enemy with it. Actually, and sometimes we can think, you know, it comes across as like, I'm the one that's doing this. It's me. No, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that accomplishes breakthrough. So in this moment, Paul is saying, take up the gospel of Jesus Christ right now and fight the fight. He's not saying, quote Psalms 23 or whatever. He's saying, take up the gospel of Jesus Christ and fight the fight. It's all about Jesus, what he has done, the great empowering. The message hasn't changed. God is still moving and working in and through Jesus. There are many of you, you've heard this phrase, the great reset that we've just come through, that historians will look at in 1,000 years' time, and they'll be like, oh, remember the great reset when COVID just hit the world, the great reset. And we come out of this great reset, and it's like, we need to do things differently. We need to approach things differently. We need to maybe not pick up as much as we did before. Maybe we just need to chill out a bit more. Maybe our priorities need to change. And that message of the great reset is a good message in some parts. But let me just challenge you this morning and those watching online on demand. The message has not changed. The fight is the same. The battle is the same. Actually, whatever it is, if you're dropping some stuff and you feel like God's asking you and calling you to do that, then that's great. Can I just say the key word there, the key phrase is, if God has asked you, talk to him about what the future looks like for you. And let me tell you, it's not putting up your feet, sitting by a river, kind of just enjoying the sunshine. That's not what we're called to, folks. I'm sorry if this is really hitting you hard. Well, I'm not really sorry. Because the truth of the matter is, it's about the good news of Jesus Christ. Whatever your world looks like, it needs to look like you're picking up the sword of the Spirit and you're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our mission. That hasn't changed. Can I get an amen? Okay, great. We are in a battle. We need to get battle ready. We need to recognize the attacks. Pray, put on the armor of God, and then the final thing is stand firm. Can I just get you to say to your neighbor, stand firm? I know some of you are like, why does he always do that? It's really annoying. Sorry, maybe God's highlighting there's some sort of frustration in you that he needs to deal with. Just putting that out there. Right, at the beginning of today's scripture, Paul mentioned the phrase, the word in different ways, but he mentioned stand. He said, stand, 3 times. Now, for those of you that have been in this church for a while, and for those of you who aren't, I'm going to explain, but actually we know that when the Bible repeats something, and particularly so close together within like a chapter or two, it's repeated 3 times. It's like the author, it's like the writer, it's what they're saying is pay attention. It's like, it's not just like putting bold, Times New Roman bold on your Word document, or even underline, or even using that feature where you can highlight it. It is triple underlined, font size 100, stand firm. Stand firm. Headline news. In other words, don't give up. In other words, there are going to be times, there are going to be seasons in your life where you're going to feel stuck. You're going to feel stuck and you're not sure where to go. You don't know what to do. There are going to be circumstances that are going to overwhelm you and you're just going to be totally overwhelmed by them. And you have no idea what you're going to do. You are lost, broken, and you have no clue. And Paul's message for you in those moments is stand. Stand firm. Don't give up. Don't give up. In your standing, look to Jesus. He will take care of the rest. He will. I know. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. We'll probably go through it again in some way, shape, or form. But he will see you through. I just need 3 volunteers right now. Can you come up on the stage, just 3 of you? That would be great. I'm not going to interview you, it's just an illustration. Let's applaud their bravery. It's great. I was going to say we can try and remain 2 meters apart, but that's not going to work. Okay, so let's have Toff. If you come in the middle here, and Toff is in that, can you sit on the lie on the floor or something like that for me? Right. I'm going to kick him really hard. No, I'm joking. So Toff, he's had a difficult time. This is just an example. He's had a difficult time. He's on the floor. He is overwhelmed. He has got no clue what to do. All he's doing right now is just crying out to Jesus. You know what? I'm lying on the floor. It's that bad, Lord. You know, I don't know what to do. These guys represent the church. If you can come either side, there are times in our life, okay, where, and don't feel guilty when you're in this place, because we can all get there. Okay, there are times where that's all you can do. Lord, help. And this is what the church is about, these guys, okay? There are times where we go to help them up. So if we can help them up, that would be great. This is where he's glad he's put deodorant on. So he has, you smell nice. But like, so there are times where he can't pull himself up, but the church, we've pulled him up. But there are times, if we can get behind him, where even when we're stood and someone's pulled us up, where we've just got to hold the person up. We just got to hold the person up. And there are some of you that have done that for me in my time here in the church, and I want to say thank you. And this is what the church is about. In times where someone is down and is broken, we lift them up. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus. We're taking the sword of the Spirit in that moment, and we're saying, we're here. You've not got the strength to get up, but we're going to lift you up. You've not got the strength to stand up, we're going to help you stand. You've not got the strength to move forward. It's okay. We're going to hold you until you're in that place where you're okay. This is the message of the gospel. It's not just about coming to Jesus and saying that prayer to get to heaven. It's about walking the walk, talking the talk, being there for one another. And the person doesn't even need to know Jesus where we can hold people up during difficult times. They don't need to know them yet. We're called to love. Lift them up. Hold them up. And then we can rejoice. And then the goal is, there's 4 people here, the church, we've helped someone up. This person, you know, Toff might then find that Anne-Marie's on the floor in a difficult time and will come and lift them up with Sarah. This is church. Thank you guys, by the way. Round of applause for the volunteers. So when I say church, I mean you and me. Don't be ashamed if you're having a tough time, a difficult time. It's okay. You might never have come to church before, and you've been watching us online so many times, and you're ashamed to come to church because of where you're at. Don't be ashamed. Come. Please come. We want to have you here. Catching up on my notes, I went well away from my notes. So, you see, we all get the honour of being a part of church. And when church is working as Jesus has wanted it to work, it's a beautiful thing. So for those of you that are struggling right now, you're either here or you're watching online, I feel like God wants to look you in the eyes and say, you're doing all right. It's okay. You're doing all right. You're doing all right. It's all right. It's going to be okay. Even if you don't feel like you're doing well, know that you're doing well because you're here amongst people that love you, that love Jesus. You've joined and logged in online with people that love Jesus. We're not going to judge you. You're doing well. You're okay. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to bring things to an end because I'm conscious of time. It's just going to be a simple prayer. So you can, if you want to stand, if you want to lie on the floor, close your eyes, keep them open. Jesus, help us to fight the fight. It is all about you. It is all about you. Jesus, we want to say thank you for what you did. We want to say thank you for what you continue to do. For those of us that are in a particularly difficult time at the moment, we want to thank you that you're right in the midst of it. You're with us. We thank you for that. We want to ask you, will you help us stand? Will you help us stand? For those that have seen the illustration that I've just shared, Father, for those that actually feel like they're on their own, on the floor, lying down, will you help give them the courage to cry out, not just to you, but to another person in the church? Father, will you give us the eyes to see as church those that are struggling? Will you give us the wisdom to know when to step in and help someone up? Give us the strategies and ideas and how to hold someone up. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. It is really all about you, and we're sorry that we forget that sometimes. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, and we forget it is all about you, Jesus. And we're sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us. And maybe you're here this morning and you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you're watching online and you've not taken that step to follow him. I just want you to pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me, for rising again in 3 days and bringing that victory for me, to cleanse me, to set me free, to give me peace with God. I believe in you. I believe what you've done. And I want to follow you from this moment forth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, here, come and grab me. I'd love to give you a fist bump. And we've got a present for you as well. I'd love to pray with you as well. If you're online, whether you're on our church portal, whether you're on our Facebook, or whether you're on your YouTube channel, or you're listening to our podcast somewhere, wherever you are, get in touch. We'd love to touch base with you. We'd love to send you a Bible. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to connect you to a church family. Even if you're watching somewhere around the world, we can do that. But thank you so much for coming this morning. God is good. We're in a battle, and Jesus is the answer.